A very good morning to you, brothers and sisters and friends. Good morning. Come, let us look at the scripture this morning, and I'd like to begin by looking at Psalm 23. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, a very, very popular verse for many people. Psalm 23, reading from verses 1 to 6. Let's read together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, we ask that you speak to us and help us hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we continue our study in the 10th chapter of John, part 2, where we have a picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. In part 1, we learned that the marks of the true shepherd of the sheep. And there are two marks that Jesus declares by which we can tell the true shepherd. I do not know whether you can still remember. Any one of you? Okay. The first one is the true shepherd enters by the gate in John chapter 10 verses 1 to 2. And then second, the true shepherd leads his sheep in second part of verse 3 to verse 5. How? He calls them by name. He won't call me Oi unless my name is Oi. And he won't call me Wai unless my name is Wai. And he won't call me old man, or lo ye, or pat ye kong, like most of the wives that I know call their husband. And he won't call me dumbbell, or sexy lady, or four-eyed man, sing an jai, or bot man, or end man. I have a name. And my name is John, or you call me Mr. Cock, or you can call me the end sing. And you have a name too. Every one of you have a name. Charlene, Calvin, Alvin, Edmund, Catherine, Jenny. And that is the name that God calls us. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He goes on before them, and his sheep trust his voice. But again, John recorded for us, the people did not understand Jesus' symbolic language, if you look at verse 6, because verse 6 tells us that Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So what's going to happen now? Is Jesus going to walk away from the people who rejected him? And is Jesus going to tell them, well, since you're all so naive, you are so immature, you are so dumb, I'm going to leave you all alone. Don't waste my time. No. Let's look at verses 7 and 10 this morning. Verses 7 and 10. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. I see Jesus here very patiently offering them a simple explanation. He continues. Look at the text. He said again, Jesus did not give up at all, but this time he changes the explanation slightly and he puts it in a specific way. This time he uses a very familiar illustration, one that every listener would understand, the sheep pen or the sheepfold where the sheep shouted together. And he said, I tell you the truth. I'm the gate for the sheep. And so here Jesus becomes the gate. He becomes the door of the sheep. And when you keep that in mind, that Jesus as a shepherd then you actually realize that Jesus was the door of the sheep. The picture becomes clearer and real. Now, this is a picture taken from an Eastern shepherd where he leads his flock out of the sheepfold to the hillsides where they graze through the morning hours. And then in the early afternoon, he provides a temporary shelter where they can rest and lie down and be protected from wild beasts. The temporary shelter has an opening where the shepherd, if you can see here, I think it's rather dark, the shepherd himself lies down so that the sheep cannot go in or out without crossing over him. So in the most literal sense, the shepherd was the door. There is no access in and out of the temporary shelter except through him. Now, some people have problem with that. In fact, a lot of people have problem with that because they say, why only him? Why only Jesus? Isn't there any other way? Well, my friends, I say this with no apologies. There is only one way, and the only way. And if I say it, you may not believe me. You don't have to believe me, but this word comes from Jesus himself. And this is what he means in the word in verse 9. I, Jesus, am the door. Whoever enters through me, you see the word, through me, will be saved. There is no other way. No other way into the fold, no other way into the temporary shelter except through me, through Jesus. And then later in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus again said when he answered Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See the word? Except through me. There's no other way. Jesus did not say that I'm one of the way or I am some of the way. No. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Brothers and sisters and friends, other founders of religion never say that they are the only way. Believe me, Buddha never say that. And Confucius never say that. Laozi, who actually founded Taoism, never say that. And Muhammad also never say that. And Jesus said, yes, except through me. Now, in these few verses, we see a beautiful picture of the ministry of Jesus when he said to the people, I'm the door. Look at verse 9 again. I'm the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. What do we find when we enter the door? First, we'll find salvation. The word save is not a word that Jesus often uses, but here he uses it to mean the ability to live. That means not only a new birth, a new life, or eternal life, but it could also mean salvation from a wasted life. Do you know what are some of the greatest fear in life today? And some say death, the fear of dying. And some say flying. They are afraid of flying with so many plane crashes. And students say examination. And Malaysians say the political party passed. And Chinese people say mean face. And others say they fear the word that starts with C, cancer. But what I'm afraid of is that many people are wasting their lives today. Isn't it strange that we can spend the best part of our life making money and more money and more money, becoming successful in life, trying to get ahead of everyone, and then find at the end of our journey that we have wasted our lives. All the good things, all the joyful things, all the things of peace and all the things that make for a sense of accomplishment have slipped by and we miss them all. You know, I know of a very rich Christian elderly brother. And he always complained that he has not enough money. He did not own a car for himself. I repeat, very rich Christian elderly man. He did not even own a car of his own. He did not have driver. He depended on people to fetch him to church. And always moody. No, you see him in church, he's always moody, he's unhappy, and he always wanted people to treat him to free meal. And actually, the whole church people who know him, except Pastor John, thought that he was a poor man. But when he died, he left behind his mansion worth more than 10 million ringgit. Not rupiah. I better say ringgit. It's not rupiah. 10 million ringgit. You know, that to me is living a wasted life. He could have bought a Mercedes-Benz S-Series, maybe BMW, hire a driver, take him around, go for holiday, take Pastor John along, and enjoy his life. Amen. Yeah, amen. But really too bad for him and for many people today. Many are living a wasted life. No, this brother is saved. He's saved. This brother is now in heaven. He's looking down at me, talking about him. Saved from the condemnation of sin, but too bad for him. He can't take his $10 million up with him. He can't use it in heaven. He has wasted his opportunity to spend those millions on himself, to give some to the church, to give and help the poor, the needy, the orphans, to support mission work, and to go on mission trip. That will have made his life more meaningful and useful. And today, many people, including Christians, are suffering from this disease of wasting their lives by living a meaningless life, a miserable life. And here Jesus promises us, if we enter the door, we will be saved. To have the ability to live, to experience salvation from a wasted life. To be able to lie down in green pastures beside quiet waters. But it could also mean salvation from bondage. To be delivered completely, totally from habitual sin like smoking, like gambling, like stealing, like lying, cheating, dishonesty, laziness, adultery, immorality. To come out, to be acquitted. No, to become a new creation in Jesus Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. So let us claim this morning, to be saved from a wasted life, to be saved from bondage. And then second, we'll find security. Look at verse 9 again. I, Jesus, am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in. So what do we find when we enter the door? We'll find security. And this is a beautiful picture. We will come in. To come into the fold means to find security. There is a desperate need in this time. And last year I was told that somebody committed suicide. I also read in the newspaper of a man killing his wife and then committed suicide himself. And we may think that these people have gone crazy. These people have gone senile. But no. They will find young people, well-educated, from good family background, with good upbringing, having even started their own families with young children, and yet took their life suddenly without warning. Why? We ask the question, why? Because the future seems so bleak and hopeless to them. There is no security left in this world. And today, a terrible nuclear threat hangs over our heads, especially in North Korea. Insecurity is felt in our job, where we are not certain whether we're going to be the next one to lose our job. And during the pandemic, the last 2.5 years, many have lost their jobs, I know. Because many of the parents in our own kindergarten here in Desa Park City and in our main church were not able to pay for their children's school fees and our four school. Dickey City schools, kindergarten, and the homeschool here, and the main church, Pulling Kindergarten, and the homeschool. We lost almost $500,000 in 2 years. In 2 years, okay? And we offer a number of the children from 30% to 80% discount to keep the children, but still many have to pull out the children out of the school because they cannot even afford to pay 30% of the fees. Now, companies, big and small, kindergarten, restaurant, hotels, and even churches have to close down during the pandemic. And also, constant changes in life are hitting us all the time, and we are finding it difficult to cope with all the increases in prices for food, for property, for transportation, for insurance, and even daily necessities. Everything, almost everything, is going up, and my favorite roti canai is also up. Nothing is coming down. No one feels secure at all. But the wonderful thing about the Good Shepherd is this. When we know him, we will have a sense of security. We can't rely on ourselves. We can't rely on what we have. And we can't rely on our government, not even in our new government, unity government, whatever you call it. Not even in our new Prime Minister, Anwar Ibrahim. That is for sure. But we can rely on the one who is in charge of all things. And he said to us, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And thus we can find security when we enter the door to come in. But it is more than that. We can also find liberty when we enter the door to come in and go out. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, we will all love to be inside. To enter the door and stay inside, to be with Jesus, to be saved, to have security. Yes, we would love to enter the church and worship God, to be free, away from the world, free from all our work burden. But it is not and never is God's intention. We are to go back out into the world again. And we must go out. The physical church is not for us to enter in and stay in to enjoy ourselves, the comfort of the aircon, the beautiful music, or to sleep during the sermon. I hope no one is sleeping, okay? If the person beside you is sleeping, give him a nudge and say, wake up, pastor is speaking now. We have to get out of here. We have to get out of the physical building here, back into the world, back into all the problems that we are going to face tomorrow in the office, in the schools, and even back in our own home. We can run away from it, and we have to go out again, and we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, the Psalmist King David said, and this is one verse that we should know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jesus did not say, I, Jesus, am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and stay with me. You don't find it in the scripture. Jesus did not say that at all. But I know that he said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Does that sound like where you work? Hello? Are there wolves there in your office as well, ready to snap at you? Chew at you and curse you, and it may be your manager or even your boss, your colleagues, and hopefully not the one sitting beside you. Well, here's the one who can go out with us. The shepherd is with us, and thus we have the liberty to move out into life in any dimension. So let's just claim that this morning we have security and we have liberty. Now, what do we do when we find and when we enter the door? And first, we will find salvation to be saved from a wasted life, to be saved from bondage. And then second, we will find security and liberty. Then third, then what? We will find pasture. Look at verse 9 again. I, Jesus, am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. This is a beautiful promise to find pasture. You will love this. Especially for the men. Do you know what this pasture is? It is food. For us, food is chow kway teow, curry, nasi lemak, sok tong, crab, prawn, durian, yummy. Are you hungry now? Okay. The pasture is a tract of land that grows grass or other vegetation to be eaten by the sheep. It is nourishment for the sheep so that those who enter the door will be fed. Isn't that a wonderful promise? We won't be starved. We won't go hungry. We will be fed. And you will have big stomach like Pastor John. Now, if you do not have, you are really missing out on this promise. So look at the person sitting beside you. See if he or she has a big stomach. If not, you can tell the person, hey, you're missing out on the wonderful promise of God. No, you have to listen to Pastor John. You are missing something. You will find pasture. And when you find pasture, you should have a big stomach. You should be fed. You know, the psalmist King David say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, jokingly, many men love to claim this promise when it comes to physical food. Men are more biblical than the ladies. Am I correct, men? Hey, are there men around? So quiet, man. But when it comes to spiritual food, the word of God, let us be honest, ladies are more biblical than us. Ladies, right? Yeah. Of course I'm right. Because we have more ladies in BSF, and we have more ladies teaching in the Sunday school, and we have more ladies attending the CGs, and we have more ladies attending church, and we have more ladies reading and studying the Bible. In fact, ladies outnumber men in attendance in every major Christian denomination by at least 20 to 25%. Serious. So consider, for example, the Pew Forum Religious Landscape National Survey in the United States, which claimed this. 77% of women believe in God with absolute certainty, but only 65% of men do. 66% of women pray daily, but only 49% of men do. 63% of women say that religion is very important in their life, but only 49% of men say as much. Where are the men when it comes to spiritual food? This is the nourishment, a spiritual food for the soul, for the mind, and for the heart. So let's claim that again this morning. We'll find pasture, physical and spiritual food. So what do we do when we enter the door? First, we will find salvation to be saved from a wasted life. We will be saved from bondage. And then second, we will find security and liberty. And then third, we will find pastures. Now look at verse 10. Verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Fourth. We will find abundant life. And here are the familiar words. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. And the New American Standard Version reads, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. And the King James Version added, and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you see that? Not just any life, not just a normal life, not just surviving, barely making it through the day. It is an abundant life. A life filled with joy and peace and love. And these three are the greatest provision of the good shepherd. If you stay in the big bungalow without joy and peace and love, you're missing something, my friend. And you may have all the riches this life can afford, but without joy and peace and love, you're missing something, my friend. And you can drive a big and expensive car, but without joy and peace and love, your life can be as miserable as anyone, my friend. So take note of this seriously. You can eat the most expensive food that is right before you, the genuine, really genuine shark fin soup. Today, I think not many people like to eat this genuine shark fin soup. A big crab in Greenview Restaurant, my favorite crab shop. If you do not know where to eat good crab, big crab, go to Greenview in PJ SS2. Or the famous nasi lemak in Village Park. Or the best charcoal fried Hokkien noodle in Damansara Uptown Restaurant. Any good food here in Desa Park City? But without joy, peace and love, your life can be miserable. An abundant life, of course, means a life filled with excitement and adventure. I look back almost 46 years to be exact of walking together with the Lord, and I want to tell you I could not have chosen a more exciting life than the one that God has given me. I look back at my life, and if I had chosen to join the Selangor First Division football club that offered me to play football as goalkeeper for them, I would have missed out on this exciting life without God. And I've never regretted making that decision to turn them down. This is abundant life. A life filled with joy and peace and love when I enter the door of the Good Shepherd. A life filled with constant expectation of what is coming next. Sometimes it's dangerous, I know. Sometimes I know it's hurt. Sometimes it's hard, it's painful, I know. But it is filled with a sense of adventure. And that's what Jesus means by the abundant life. Friends, do not choose any other kind of life. What the world offers you is very pale in comparison. This is abundant life, a life of continual adventure. Look around us and see what God was doing behind the scene and is still doing today. And we may be saddened by all the news on 1 MDB in the past or the 2.6 billion. Now people talk about 600 billion. And we may be saddened and upset by all the injustices and unfairness and prejudices taking place in our country. And we may be angry with the police officer for asking us to drink minimum coffee when they stop us for going through the red light. And we may be shocked by the number of people who have emigrated and many who are still emigrating today, especially Christians and even pastors. But brothers and sisters, look on the brighter side and see what God is doing and how God is working. Even though we do not understand, then we will see the difference. Because the good shepherd is not like a thief who comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The good shepherd is the door for the sheep, and whoever and whosoever enters the door will be saved and will come in and go out and will find pasture. This is abundant life. And it is available only to those who believe in the name of the Son of God, the Good Shepherd. Have you received it? And that's why we celebrate Christmas. The purpose of Christmas has never changed, and it is still God's desire to see the man and woman be saved through believing in Jesus Christ. Now, my friends, what is Christmas to you? Is it about tree decorated with tinsel and flashing lights and bright color bulbs and ornaments of angels, beautifully wrapped packages tied with bow and ribbon, family and friends gathered together to share a turkey? Well, all of these things bring joy and happiness to us, no doubt, and have an important place in our lives. But at the end of the day, let me remind you, when the tree have been taken down, when the torn wrapping and ribbon have been discarded, when the tables have been cleared and the friends and relatives have all gone home, may we not miss out on the very true purpose of Christmas. All the gifts given and received during this time are of little value when compared with the great gift that God has given to us. He has given us His Son. And when this child, his son, became a man, he offers us the greatest gift that man and woman and child could ever receive, the gift of salvation, eternal life. And he purchased this gift by paying the highest price one can pay. He gave up his life in order to give his life to you and to me and to the whole world. And to know this, to believe this, is to rejoice in this gift, is to live in accord with this very purpose of Christmas. So friends, it may cost us nothing to just believe, but it cost Jesus. It cost Him, the Good Shepherd, His life to give us salvation, security and liberty, pasture, and an abundant life. And I hope you are ready to accept it, to receive it. Let us pray. Father, we pray for those who are here this morning at the invitation of friends or may just drop in the church who have not have a personal relationship with you. And this morning, Father, we pray for them, those who have yet to believe in Jesus Christ, who have not made that decision to believe, Or maybe it's those who are here this morning first time, they do not know what it means to be a Christian, what it means to celebrate Christmas, and your words speak to them this morning. It cost Jesus, the Good Shepherd, his life to give us salvation. And I pray that, Lord, that they will receive this free gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Friends, this is the message of Christmas for you and for me, for the whole world. If you have yet to receive this free gift this morning, God is offering you this free gift in Jesus Christ. If you have never said this prayer to accept Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner who believe in you. Come and be my Lord and personal Savior. This morning, I want to give you that invitation to do so. While all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, just quietly raise your right hand and I just want to say a prayer for you to receive this free gift of salvation that God offers to us. For this is the true meaning of Christmas, to accept the gift of God. Is there anyone who have yet to make that decision, who have never made that decision this morning? You wish to become a Christian, you wish to believe in Jesus Christ. You just quietly raise your hand and I want to say a prayer for you. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? Or is it that all of you are Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord for that. All of you are believers, children of God. And thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the Good Shepherd that offers us salvation and to free us from wasted life, free us from bondage, and give us liberty to live, security. Let us claim that promise and live the life to the fullest, because the life that God offers us is abundant life. Abundant life. We thank God for that. Thank you for the word that God has spoken to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.